Book of Romans, and we will be in Romans chapter number 9. We're going to look at a couple of different facets this evening. In a lot of ways, we're going to examine the compassion for the lost from the Apostle Paul here in Romans chapter number 9, right at the beginning of the chapter. But then we're going to look at an aspect. My challenge for you is going to be the title of my message, which is, "It's Time to Go." And I got putting this together, and I got thinking, I've heard those words before. How many guys have kids and realize once you have kids, the headaches you must have put your parents through? The longer I've had children, the longer I've been thankful for my parents. And the longer I've had a mother-in-law, the more thankful I am for my mother. I'm joking. My wife's right there. I remember time after time, it seemed like Sunday morning was always the morning that us kids decided we're going to be bad. When it was, you know, pastor's house, we're on the way out for church, and that is when we acted up the worst. So come on, guys, it's time to go. But then I realized as a parent that you never go anywhere fast when you have kids, especially young kids. If we're going to go to the store, it's not a 5-minute drive to Costco. It's a 45-minute drive to Costco because there's 40 minutes before we get into the car. I mean, these car seats nowadays are like, you know, you have to put in a nuclear code to get them just latched right. And oh, man alive. I just found it interesting, the joys of it's time to go, especially when we're late and running behind. That urgency that when you know you've got a place to be and you're saying, come on, guys, it's time to go. We got to go. We got to go. Get in the car. We got to go. And it's kind of the urgency I want to come with in examining the burden for lost souls we ought to have, but the urgency we ought to have of saying, hey, we got to go because there's a deadline to meet. There is going to come a time for every single soul in all of the world where it's too late. It's too late for the gospel. And we have the answer. We have God's word. We have the gospel, and we ought to have an urgency about getting out and getting it to the lost. Romans chapter 9, if you're there, verses 1 through 3, it says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. So he's saying, hey, this is for real. This is a real look at my heart. I'm not lying. He says that I have a great heaviness and a continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. He had a heaviness, a sorrow, where he wished he was accursed from Christ. If he could just go to hell in place of his brother and his kinsmen, his flesh and blood, those that he cared for. There's a real time, a real look at the Apostle Paul and his burden for the lost. We oftentimes look at the Apostle Paul and think about all of the hardships he endured, the many beatings. It says 3 times he was shipwrecked, twice he was left for dead, all of these things he endured for the gospel. But that wasn't because he was some real tough guy that could just put up with it. That's because he had an incredible burden for the lost. He had a heaviness that weighed on his heart for those who did not have Christ. And there has to come a time in our lives, a moment where talking is no longer enough. When there needs to be a burden in our hearts that moves us to action. It's like a firefighter. Imagine calling 911 and a house is burning and there's a family inside and a firefighter watches out, comes up and pulls up in their fancy trucks and they've got the answer. They could put that fire out. They could put the burning building out. And they stand there and walk up next to you and say, man, wow, I feel real bad. I feel real bad. That's just, what a shame. What a shame. You say, is that real compassion? When they have the answer to do something about it? No. If he has compassion, a firefighter is going to go in. He's going to rescue at expense to his own self. He's going to pull folks out from the fire and save them from that. Truth is, we already know what we ought to do. I'm preaching a Sunday night crowd. Hey, we're showing up not just in the for the morning service, we're back for more at 5. We know that we ought to reach the lost. We've even put it up on the wall for our theme for the year, Rescue the Perishing. Our whole auditorium, our building here is dedicated on a plaque on the wall to the Great Commission of reaching and taking the gospel and preaching it to every single creature, every single person. We know what we ought to do. We know that the gospel saves. We know that hell is real. We know that people are lost. We know that if they die in that lost state, that they'll go to hell. And we know that we have the answer in the gospel. The issue with our movement not seeing souls saved is not the lack of knowledge. It's a lack of a burden strong enough that pushes us to go. Not just stand on the sideline and says, man, that's just too bad. That's just too bad. I wish somebody would do something about that. Maybe the preacher can go do something about that. Yes. Yes, the preacher ought to be involved in that. But every single one of us ought to. We ought to be able to say, like the Apostle Paul, I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart for the lost and dying all around me. We're going to pray, and then we're going to get into this message this evening. Dear Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts. I pray that you would not just allow us to sit by on the sideline knowing something needs to be done but not willing to do anything. I pray that you would work up inside of us tonight a burden, a deep and heavy burden for the lost that moves us to action, that moves us to step up and say, I will go and take his gospel. Lord, I pray that you would use me as your humble servant to bring this message across. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We know that we ought to reach the lost. And so let's start with honesty. This isn't a church that needs to be convinced that soul winning matters. Soul winning is a large aspect of our church and the ministries of our church. I'm looking out at a majority of us here tonight are involved in at least a small way in the soul winning efforts of our church. You already know what Mark chapter 16 verse 15 says. Hey, it wasn't too long ago that same youth choir stood up here and they sang, go, go, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We know what Romans chapter 10 verse 14 says, how then shall they call on him that they in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe of him whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? We know that the lost need to hear the gospel to receive the gospel. We already know that people cannot get saved without hearing truth. We know that God uses people just like you and I to go and reach these lost folks. The command is to go, but we know all of that. We know all of that up here. The problem is not ignorance. The problem is delay. We make excuses. We say, well, when my knee starts feeling better, then I'll go. When the sunshine is a little bit more consistent, when it hits the 60s instead of the high 50s, then I'll go. When it fits in my schedule, then I'll go. I'll go someday. I just need to get better at doing this and presenting the gospel first. I need to polish up my approach before I share the gospel with others. I'm just a little too busy in a period of time in my life right now. But while we're delaying, people are dying. Every single day, 180,000 people globally pass into eternity. Every single day. So if we delay from today to tomorrow, that's 180,000 people who will no longer have an opportunity for you to share the gospel with them. You say, they're not all right here in Pocatello. I know. But people right here in Pocatello are dying. You got neighbors. You got people that you see every day, and then you don't see them, and you no longer have an opportunity, and they're in eternity. Imagine a man maybe invented or found a cure to an incurable disease, a deadly disease, maybe cancer, we'll say, a cure to cancer. Can you imagine? the thousands and thousands who die all of the time from cancer. And this man says, well, I'm going to share it later on when I can figure out how to explain it better. No, later doesn't help the man who's dying today. There ought to be an urgency about us when it comes to sharing the gospel. It's when we say rescuing the perishing, it's not just a pretty set of words. It's not just because that flows off of the pages of music very well. We're to rescue the perishing because they are perishing. Every single moment, souls are passing to an eternity, and they're passing into eternity and going one of two places. The Bible says that if you receive Christ as your Savior and you know Him in your heart as your Savior and trusted Him for salvation, and when your life comes to an end, you'll spend an eternity with Christ. The Bible also says if you reject Him, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, those who have not received His gospel message of salvation, they'll spend an eternity, not a period of time, an eternity forever and ever and ever in a real, literal place called hell. So we know that we ought to go. But we also know that knowing is not enough. So I want to look at the compassion of the Apostle Paul. He's one, if you look out throughout the Bible, who is the one you could point at and say, hey, they went. And they went a lot of places. To every creature in all the world. I mean, the Apostle Paul, he even came right back to Jerusalem when he was warned by a prophet saying, hey, you go there to preach the gospel there, they're going to chain you up, throw you in jail, and send you off to your demise. And he went and preached the gospel anyway. The Apostle Paul lost his life preaching the gospel. He said, what drove him? The Apostle Paul, he didn't just know these truths. He allowed the knowledge to go from his head to his heart and stir up a burden. A burden for the lost and dying souls. A great heaviness, as he describes, and a continual sorrow. I fear, though, that many times as Christians, we'll have moments of concern. We'll think, well, we'll sit in sermons like this, and we'll hear messages and say, well, yeah, isn't that too bad? Yeah, you know, I probably ought to do something about that. And we'll have moments or flickers of a burden that might stir us to think about doing something, but it's got to be a real, continual sorrow, a burden that is real. It wasn't just a sermon illustration. This was his heart was breaking for souls because he knew where they were headed. So do we. Somehow we become apathetic and we become okay with that. His burden was personal. He says he's burdened for his brother and his kinsmen. These are people he knew. I'd venture to say that all of us, if we think about our life, we all know someone personally. Not just strangers out in Pocatello, out in the community. We know someone personally that does not know Christ as their Savior. Whether that be a child or a parent or a cousin, a relative, a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, somebody that you see regularly, somebody that you interact with. Sometimes that person, as you get a little bit older, sometimes the person you interact with a lot is your doctor. So I know someone personally, at least some one person personally, every one of us does, who doesn't know Christ as their Savior. These are the people he was burdened so strongly for. Let me ask you plainly, I want you to think in your mind, this is not supposed to be just something you listen to, but you want to be engaged in this message. Who in your life right now is lost? I want you to think of their names, that family member maybe, that's lost. Do you sorrow for their soul? I want you to think about in your heart that coworker you know is lost. Are you stirred up with a burden for their soul? That neighbor that you wave across the fence at and you have a friendly relationship with, or I don't know, not so friendly. I don't know your neighbors. Are you stirred up with a burden for their soul? Do you really feel in your heart a sorrow for those folks that you know? Or have we become used to to lost people being lost? Have we become okay with lost people being lost? What a shame it is, especially for those that we hold dear in our lives. One of the saddest phrases I've heard a Christian say is that I've stopped witnessing to my family because I don't want to rock the boat. See, I'd prefer a really nice relationship with my family members and they die and go to hell without salvation than to maybe make a situation a little uncomfortable with a conversation about eternity. But to share them with them the gospel of Jesus Christ that could save their souls and change their eternal destination. Oh, that we'd have a burden that is greater than our seeking of comfort and our seeking of a smooth relationship with our family members, with our neighbors, with our coworkers. Have we become so used to it? Have we become okay with it to the point where we're no longer moved? It ought to be that as we seek God's face in prayer for these individuals, it moves our hearts. Emotionally, it ought to move us. It ought to bother us. It ought to be a sorrow on our hearts for their lost condition. His burden was also sacrificial. He says, I wish that myself were accursed. This is staggering. Paul says, hey, if it were possible, my burden is so great for them that if it were possible, I would trade places with them so that they could go to heaven and I'd go to hell for them. Wow, that's a burden. I don't know that's something I'd be willing to say. You go out and say, hey, I wish I could take your place. Wow, that ought to convict us. We ought to have that level of a burden to say, hey, I have a sacrificial burden. I'm willing to sacrifice something so that the lost can know of salvation. They say, what does that mean? Well, you ought to be at least willing to sacrifice some of your time. And we'll sacrifice our time for a lot of things. We'll stay up late watching different sports games. We'll sacrifice our attention for politics. We'll sacrifice for this and that. And we'll sacrifice for all kinds of different things. And when it comes to souls, Christians say, oh, Pastor, you can't ask me to come and spend a couple hours on a Saturday morning to share the gospel with the lost. Oh, that's asking too much. What? Your grass needs mowed 2 extra hours longer? Really? What good are those blades of grass going to be in eternity compared to souls that you ignored? The burden was sacrificial. We don't lack in knowing the truth. We know that the lost are dying are out there. We know that we have the answer. We know that we ought to take it to them. We don't lack in examples of compassion. We know in how many times you can read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about Jesus, how he'd come and he'd see a multitude and he'd lift up his eyes and over again you hear the words and he was moved with compassion. I think too many times we look up at a crowd of people and we're moved with annoyance. We're moved with being inconvenienced. When we ought to be moved with compassion. We ought to look up and see a crowd of folks and say, man, they need the gospel. Man, they need the gospel. I remember a situation like this that really moved me to action that we're going to take this year was last year on July 4th. We were involved in a July 4th parade. I'd never seen a town show up so staunchly for a parade in my life. It was pouring rain, and we were walking for a political candidate and walking through the thousands of people in the pouring rain. You know what it did to me? I said, hey, next year, it's on a Saturday, and we're going to have a patriotic Sunday on the 5th. We're going to get out here, and if there's these multitudes gathering, we're going to bring the gospel to them. we're going to get the gospel. Why? Because that ought to be the outlook of every Christian. Yesterday, man, yesterday was fun. If you weren't here yesterday for that yard sale outreach, it was a lot of fun. We started assembling, and I appreciate everybody's donations, and I'm bringing my stuff in. I'm setting it out thinking, who's going to want to show up for my junk? Like, nobody wants my, you know, baseball caps from 10 years ago. I sweated through those so many times. Nobody wants my junk. We passed out over 350 people the gospel yesterday. We had incredible conversations about the Lord. We had incredible responses. Say, why? Because we saw an opportunity, there's a vision in one of our church folks to say, hey, there's an opportunity to bring a multitude right here to the church doors and to give them the gospel. That ought to be our heart. That ought to be our outlook. We ought to have a burden that is fresh, that's hot, that's heavy, that is focused on a compassion for the lost. Think about this. I wonder how many of us have family members who don't know Christ as their Savior. Maybe you have a child that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. Imagine if your young child fell into a fast, deep river, and without saving, they were going to drown. Can you imagine a parent standing on the riverbank, screaming at the top of their lungs, man, I hope somebody helps. Hey, will you go help them? I hope somebody will help them. No. A parent's going to jump in, whether they can swim or not. They're going to give their lives if they have to save their children from danger. Why? Because you have compassion. Yet the same parents who would risk their physical life to save their children from physical danger will keep their mouths shut when it comes to eternity. I hope somebody, maybe someday somebody will share the gospel with them. No, you ought to. You ought to have a burden that burns within you to action. Compassion ought to move you. That's the point. When compassion is real, you don't have to be pushed to go. You don't need a preacher to come and beg you, come on, will you be involved in the soul winning efforts of our church? No, you'll say, hey, pastor, how can I be more involved in reaching the lost? The fields are ready. Right now. We keep acting like the right time is coming. And Jesus said in John chapter number 4, say ye not therefore, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. He says, hey, right now, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. Stop trying to find a convenient time. Not in 4 months. Lift up your eyes and look to the fields. They are already white under harvest. Harvest is not in the future. The harvest is right now. We're just not seeing the harvest harvested due to laborers standing on the sideline. It's not someday, it's not next year, it's right now. It is upon us. These next 3 weeks going into the summer is going to be a big push. And you might get sick of your pastor saying, hey, let's go knock on some more doors. Let's go tell some more people. But it ought to be the other way around. It ought to be, pastor, would you go with me? I want to go tell my coworker about Jesus. Would you come with me and talk to my neighbor? I'd love to come and share the gospel with your friends and family and relatives. I'll go with you. But you ought to have a burden of compassion to say, I will go. Problem is not readiness of the harvest, it's laborers. We've had the opportunity already this year. Usually we're coming to this point and finally we're being able to knock on doors. Hey, we knocked on doors in February. It's just been a weird winter. We had nice weather and we knocked on doors, and a few times we were able to do that and when usually it's cold weather and it was warm, we come back. I tell you, there is a softening of hearts. It's ever so slight. But there is a window of openness of people towards the gospel like we haven't seen in years. I tell you, the harvest is ready. We've got laborers standing on the sideline. say, oh, I don't know that I'm the one to be involved. I'm not very good at it. God didn't say, if you're Bible college educated or if you're a Bible scholar and you have a doctorate degree or you've got all the right words to say, then go. No, he says to all of us as Christians, every single saved soul in this room, he said, go ye and preach the gospel. Said, I tell you, one of the best ways, if you don't know what to say, is to go with somebody who does. Go find somebody who's knocked on a lot of doors and shared the gospel with a lot of people. That person, that type of person who has a love for souls, that gets contagious. And they love taking people knocking on doors with them. Say, what do you do when you knock on a door? You come armed with the gospel and say, hey, I'm Pastor Elijah. This is whoever's with me. We're from Mountain Valley Baptist Church, and we're here in the neighborhood. We want to invite you out to church, but more than that, we want to tell you that Jesus loves you. He died on the cross to save you, and you can know him as your Savior today, and this will tell you exactly how. And we give them, this is not it, but we give them something where it has the gospel laid clearly out. A lot of people don't want to have that conversation at the door, but maybe they'll come to church. Maybe you invite them out and you say, hey, that coworker, I might not be able to share the gospel clearly with them, but you invite them out to Anniversary Sunday, and they sit in a pew, and they can hear the gospel preached, and we have had dozens and dozens over the years on these special Sundays, hear the gospel, get saved, walk this aisle, get saved. Problem isn't the readiness of the harvest. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. There are people in our neighborhoods, there's people in our city, there's people throughout that we interact with throughout our daily routines, ready to hear the gospel, but they're not going to come to you and ask you to share it with them most of the time. You must go to them. You know, it has struck me a couple times when I've been nervous to share the gospel with somebody, I think, oh man, they're not going to take this well, but I know the Lord's leading me to share the gospel. Oh, they're not going to take this well. And I have this internal battle of, Lord, are you sure you want me to tell them about you? And I come to have that conversation. I say, man, I really appreciate you saying that. And they've got questions that are open. And I think, really? You want to hear more? Really? They say, why? Because I'm judging it based off of people's outward appearance and my own nervousness. God sees their heart and says, go. Christians, we have the answer. We ought to go. Go into the field. Go into the harvest. It's time to go. Here's the heart of the message. It's not it's time to think about it. It's not time to weigh our options. It's not to pray about someday getting involved. It's time to go. It's time to get involved now. It's time to go in spite of your fears. You say, I'm nervous. Good. Good. Everyone is. But fear is an excuse. It's also something you can overcome. I'm nervous. I find my flesh desiring people not to answer the door when I knock on the door, because that way I don't have to talk. You say, preacher, you talk for a living. I know. But that's people I know. You knock on a door, there's fear. All right, go in spite of the fear. Go despite of the inconvenience. Soul winning will cost you your time. It'll cost you stepping out of your comfort zone. It'll cost you your energy to go and say, hey, this is just it's not what I feel like doing today, but go anyways. And you talk about reaping the reward. I tell you, souls are worth your time, your comfort, and your energy. Go because of eternity. Jude chapter 1, verse 23 says, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Bible says that there's an urgency here, that we're going out with the gospel to reach in and pull people that are on their way to hell and rescue those perishing souls and bring them to the knowledge of salvation through Christ alone. What happens if we don't go? Do you lose your salvation? No. Bible says our eternity is secure, but if we don't go, and we refuse to share the gospel with those that are around us. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18, his blood will I require at thy hands. There's a message that really got a hold of my heart about soul winning that I heard growing up. It was my Grandpa over here was my pastor growing up and preached a message called Bloody Hands. Someday, if you fail to share the gospel with those folks that you know, those family members, those co-workers, those neighbors, those people in our community, you'll stand by the side of Jesus as they approach the great white throne judgment. And I wonder if some of us will hear, "Why didn't you tell me? You knew the answer and you didn't tell me. Oh, but our backyard barbecues would have gone a lot better if I didn't mention anything. But this is eternity. Why didn't you not tell me about the gospel?" Oh, I wonder if they've got some Christians that are going to hang their head and say, as they're cast off in the lake of fire for all of eternity, "I've got blood on my hands. I didn't go, and now I'm sorrowful." It's sobering. If we don't go, the lost remain lost and die and spend an eternity in hell. The gospel remains unheard, and opportunities for souls to be saved are gone forever. So we know the truth. We know that we ought to go. We've been preaching on that all year. We've been focused on that. We've been building this up. We've heard the preaching. We understand the need. Now the question is will you go? No. Not will people from Mountain Valley Baptist Church go in general. Will you go and share the gospel with the lost? I challenge you, it's time for you to go. It's time for you to take this gospel personally to the lost and dying. That was one of our major of two challenges this year, is challenging as a pastor, challenging each and every individual of our church that you would make a point to personally share the gospel with personally share the gospel and see folks saved this year. One day, you may see someone who says, no one ever told me. You didn't tell me. But you'll have to remember that you could have, but you're busy mowing your lawn and doing your laundry and whatever other excuse. Oh, it's politics season. Yeah, I know. I know the politicians need Jesus too. Hey, it's time to go. It's time to go. And I'm standing here at the door saying, "Let's go. Let's go out to the lost." And the kids are all inside. They're running around. "Oh, but I want to stay. I want to play. I want to do this." It's time to go. We've got a lost world is dying, and we've got a gospel to take to them. So my challenge is this, make a decision, not someday, this week, I will go. I will go and share the gospel with at least one lost soul this week. A month and a half ago, I passed out on a Sunday night a specially printed out prayer list for you to write the names of souls that you're burdened to hear the gospel. Hey, it's time to go. It's time to share the gospel with those people. It's time to pray fervently for those people. If you go into the chapel that has become our missions chapel across the way, we have on the side of the walls, on each side, different missionary boards where you've got their prayer cards and, you know, the Ingalls to India and the Zdarskys to Poland and all of our different missionaries with their latest prayer list. But real big, right as you walk in, you're going to see about taller than you and I am. Maybe it might not be taller than Brother Josh, but real big, great big blown up map, beautifully printed on the wall. And across the top it says, "Our Jerusalem." And the map has four cities on it. It has Chubbuck and Pocatello, Blackfoot and Incom. That's our right here. That's our Jerusalem. That's where we ought to go. Now, a wonderful thing about that map is that we are able to pull down and we've actually have a grid on that map where you have letters, on kind of like Battleship, letters on one side and numbers on the other, where you say, hey, I'm going to go to B12. And that little neighborhood pops up, and we've got a print off of that little neighborhood of a map. Well, my challenge you is just take that list. If you've neglected that soul winner's prayer list, you ought to go home tonight, and before you do anything else, sit down and get right with God. You ought to have a burden enough to pray for souls. Fill that list out. Pray for them. And this week, every single one of those names, you ought to make an attempt to reach out, to share the gospel. If they can attend, invite them to attend the anniversary Sunday. And then come get one of those little maps and get yourself a stack of these gospel invitations with the brochure from the church that tells you exactly how you can be saved right in it. And get a little marker and mark off the streets as you get them done, knocking on doors saying, hey, I'm so-and-so, I'm from Mountain Valley Baptist Church. I want to tell you about my Jesus. He died for you and just wants to save your soul. You say, that sounds like a lot of involvement. I tell you, we ought to have a burden that moves us to action like that. A sorrowing for souls. Say, that's too much of a bother, Pastor. I can't be bothered that much for souls. How sad. How sad. It's time to go. We've got our marching orders. We know what to do. I'm laying out where to go. It's time to go. Take this gospel to the lost. Don't wait. Let's go. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you've given us and tasked us with so great a responsibility. Lord, we're humbled. We need you to go with us. We need your help. But I pray that we would not stand in the sidelines. Lord, tonight was not a message of delineating the deeper aspects of how we ought to go and why. We know that already. We've covered that. We've established that. Lord, I pray tonight that you'd use this message to stir up in us a burden, a deep-rooted compassion for the lost that stirs us to an invigorated effort, stirs us to action that would go and tell the lost about you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you stand your feet with the heads bowed and eyes closed at this time, the pianist is going to come play an invitation hymn. Would you come? Would you kneel at an altar and say, I'll go. I'll have compassion enough to get off the sideline. I will go. That's what I'm looking for tonight. That's what the Lord is asking for tonight. I will go. As the piano plays, would you come? Would you make a decision tonight? We're not going to be sidelined Christians.